to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm your host, Maite, and with me today is...
Hi, everybody. This is Jojo.
Hello, everybody. This is Julio. What's up? What's up?
We're here at Espacio 1839. Thanks for hosting us. What's up, guys?
Hi.
What's up? What's up? I hope you got the numbers right on Espacio 1839.
Me too. Yeah. Me too, bro. Let's go. I'm with not that good at remembering things.
Numbers.
Yeah. So this episode... it's going to be a little bit different because usually I interview the OGs or a founder, but I ran out. So
so you got us.
So this is what you get.
We're the filler episode.
But you know what? I think there's going to be a lot of entertainment value in this from what I'm gathering from the pre-show.
The clownery is real.
The clownery is real. It is.
No, but I'm kind of excited to have people on that like regularly play football. We're gonna get to know you guys in a little bit, but let's start with talking about some Poderosas announcements. There's actually not a lot because it's been like 2 seconds since our last podcast, but we just have a quick clarification on the Palestinian youth movement event that's happening on May 18th. Julio, could you give us some details since you're pretty involved?
Yeah. So we're still gathering a little bit more information in regards to the event on May 18th. It's not a Goals for Gaza, should we say, led event. However, we're working on getting some clarity. We'll be meeting with some of the current organizing folks. I know that some of the people involved in this current event were involved in helping with the organizing of the Goals for Gaza event, which was beautiful. Shout out Goals for Gaza. So yeah, we'll have more clarity hopefully within the next few days.
Dope. Yeah, and we'll keep you guys updated on the Poderosas Instagram. But coming up for me that I'm excited about is the season ticket holder event on May 5th at the Santa Monica Pier. I know people are not happy about where it is, but I'm very happy about it. Yeah. Little beach day, little Poderosas beach day. Yeah. Come through, come through early.
Yeah.
Let's
meet up at like this.
Yeah, low key. Like, I'm right by the train if we want to do that.
Ooh.
Right next to it.
That's free 99 parking too, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And right. Jojo, you and your Prius, you got to pick everybody up. You got the gas mileage.
I'm down.
Throw somebody in the trunk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And hopefully, like, getting our little lunch boxes and all of that.
My loncherita.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than that, we'll have already passed by the time this comes out. But if you guys want to contribute to the Binational Migratory Immersion Program for DACA recipients that some Poderosas are involved in, we're going to put a link to that in the description.
I also have one, too, if it's okay to share.
Yeah, please.
I can update. But... It's just a call for support for folks to support the student encampments that are happening in support of Palestine. I know we've been hearing about campuses all across the country that have been, you know, organizing these encampments to kind of voice awareness and like calling for divestment of Israel and this genocide and in support for Palestine. So just generally go support the student encampments. It's like we're here for the long haul, so that's kind of an ongoing thing, and just encouraging folks to pull up and support.
For sure
what Jojo just shared, you know, USC, UCLA, I think USC had an incident where I can't remember if it was campus security or LAPD need a student. So, you know, hella triggering with stuff that has been occurring with the police and just their abuse of power. And so definitely for us to get out there. With that said too, May Day is coming up. A lot of May Day actions. Be safe. Look into all the things, all the precautionary things that you can do as far as being part of these actions. And hopefully see a lot of you Poderosas at these actions.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
All right, here's the moment that you guys fear. tell me about yourself. Let's start with Julio.
Well, once again, what's up, everyone? I'm Julio. He, him, el pronouns. Tell you about me. It's Julio with a J, not with an H. I am from El Salvador, currently living in Bell Garden, Bell Gardens, perdón, before JoJo kicks me.
You could tell he's new to the area.
Yeah, I'm new to the BG area, but been in LA for a long time. LA became home. Been with Poderosas. I joined late into season one. Season two was maybe my first full season, and then season three, you know, we're still going strong. Shout out to my sponsor, Claudia. What's up? You can see her on the drums and randomly dancing at different songs that come out at La Fortaleza. Also part of the Futbolista crew in LA. And also Tigres del Norte. I'm like unofficially official, you know? So shout out to those fools too. And I'll leave it right there for now, and then maybe you can guide me through. I'm gonna pass it to JoJo like I always do.
Hey everybody, JoJo, she, her pronouns. Just a silly goose that likes to play soccer. I'm from Bell Garden, Southeast LA forever. Yeah, I know there's gonna be more questions, so can I just pretend to be mysterious?
Is that what your tattoo says?
What?
No. Southeast LA forever.
No, I only have one. Disclaimer. Yeah. No. I'll wait for the rest of the questions. Yeah, yes.
Guide us.
I should not have showed you guys the questions. Well, I always ask this question to everyone, so you guys are no exception. How did you fall in love with football?
How did I fall in love with football? To me, it's like a growing relationship, honestly. I started off as an AYSO kid, like a lot of kids in the area. Shout out to AYSO. And this was probably when I was about six years old or so. I used to play at Salt Lake Park in HP, for all my folks who are familiar with HP. And yeah, I think it's one of like my earliest memories of, you know, just having fun, right? And experiencing that joy, but also the pressures, right? You start seeing like the environments in which sometimes we play the game, or we see the game being played. And yeah, just to be slightly vulnerable here, I think it was one of my earliest memories of having this connection with my dad, and like him being very present. It was like through the game. And maybe some folks can relate to that, right? How there may not be a lot of connections there, but I think the game might be one of them. And so that was kind of like my intro to the game, and just kept playing ever since. I played during high school. That was a cool experience, very humbling experience.
Humbling how?
Just humbling. We don't have that much time right there.
We can make time.
It was just humbling, but it was a very, it built character, I will say that. I guess during college, I took a huge break. I didn't know if I was going to play again, honestly. I just hit survival mode. I was like, I have to survive this institution, and I need to work to pay for this institution. So I kind of just like, yeah, I just stepped away and wasn't sure if I was gonna ever, pick up cleats again. But thankfully, that has changed. And I think the older I get, I think my love for the sport grows even more. I think, I don't know if it's because of like the spaces, right, that have made it feel more intentional and more, there's all these connections, right? And so I think, now that I'm older, right, and able to play the game in a way that feels like safe and fun, and without a lot of these pressures that we kind of grew up with, it is definitely, I think it's grown my love for the sport. And I got back to it, honestly, I would say a few years ago now. It wasn't that long that I kind of like started playing again. And yeah, that was due to, you know, the folks in my life that kind of just guided me through that path again, and have made it a welcoming environment, and also, has connected the sport to so many things, right? To the fact that we can affirm like our humanity, right? We can affirm our identities. We can affirm each other in community. So I think that's kind of what also has supported my love for football. And it's kind of changed or has taken more shape over the years, I would say. But I'll leave it at that. We're at a whole book right now. In this essay, I will.
What's your thesis?
My thesis. But I'll pass it to Julio.
All right. I don't know if I can top that, but no, Jojo, I just, before I think I jump into my stuff, I want to say I'm very grateful that through football and through futbolistas / poderosas, I got a chance to meet you, because I actually met you on the field, I want to say about, it's been a little more than a year ago. So you would think, I think people that see how you and I interact, people would think that we've known each other maybe longer than like a little bit over a year. But, you know, yeah, no, Jojo's an amazing friend. And so I just think it's the things that come with community, right? And sharing spaces and being able to find spaces that align with your values. You're going to meet people that you can connect with, that you can appreciate to spend time with and be around and feel safe, right? Because, well, I feel like that might be something to talk about in a little bit, but, you know, for sure, it's something I appreciate about football, and it ties in with the love I have for it, because I'm able to make great connections, like the friendship I've established with Jojo and even with Maite, right? Maite, like, knows everything about NWSL. Like, everything. Who's coming in, who's leaving, who's staying, who's dating, who's hating, everything.
Future sports commentator.
Yeah. I mean, sheesh. From La Fortaleza. Sheesh.
I don't know about who's eating, but maybe if I put my mind to it.
If we check the Slack. I'm just kidding. All right.
Wow. Just tag me already, dude. Just tag me.
At Mighty. I'm just kidding. All right. Yeah, no, as far as
the question was,
so how'd you fall in love with
I was trying to dodge it. So. I think it connects slightly with Jojo as far as like feeling that connection with the relative or with the parent. For me, when I was born, I think one of my first like onesies was an Alianza Football Club onesie. My dad played professional soccer or football in El Salvador. He played for Alianza Football Club, number one team in El Salvador and Central America. Mm. In my heart. Disclaim that. In my heart. So he played, I want to say, like, maybe like early to mid 80s, throughout the, maybe about like mid to late 90s. He had to retire because of a meniscus tear, and this fool didn't want to get surgery, so he opted to retire. But he played, you know, he has great stories. So I remember just being little and asking him. I remember being a little kid and having the radio with me when he would leave to play, and I would hear the games, and like I would always, every time I would hear a goal, I would be like, oh, I hope my dad scored. So I think from very little, I was just always trying to be like him. So I started playing. And I started kicking a ball around like when I was four, from like 4 to 6 years old. I had a lot of heart, but dang, I cannot keep up from 4 to 6 years old. And then moved around to, it was like a club soccer, but in a different city. El Salvador is not like a large country, so, you know, 10-minute drive, you're already in like a whole new zip code, at least at that time. And I remember I got a new coach and something clicked for me. And, you know, I started playing freely, playing happily. And I feel like I started to actually gain confidence with playing. I felt like I improved. And so within this time, like my mind was always like, okay, I want to be a pro. I want to be like my dad. I want to play in the national team like he did. I want to do like all the stuff that he's done as far as like his professional career. But like, you know, life had different plans for me. Moved from El Salvador to the U.S. And the language barrier was a big thing for me. So that love for soccer kind of, it just felt like it, I was loving it, but it wasn't loving me back. And so, yeah, I went through some weird years, you know, adapting to a whole new country's life. And the first friends I made in elementary school was because I would play at recess, and I was pretty good. So, and thankfully I had some Spanish speaking like kids that were there. So, you know, that was cool. But then middle school and like my first years of high school, I was not playing. And so I was trying to figure out how the hell to fit in. It wasn't until like my senior year that I was like, oh, I don't need to figure out how to fit in. I just need to figure out what works for me, you know? And so I started playing again, played my senior year of high school, did not play in college. And then, yeah, I was on and off with playing. But it was really when I came to Futbolistas. I've been in Futbolistas for about, I think I'm coming up on 10 years already. So yeah, as an adult, it's crazy because I feel like as far as like my skill set that I have as a soccer player, it really flourished with Futbolistas, even though you would think like, oh, by then you should kind of already know like what type of player you're going to be and everything. But it provided me with such a safe space that I felt good about trying things that I thought I could do but didn't know because I would never try. And once I started going with it and I started playing and I was doing things that I thought I could do and like seeing them, I was like, oh shoot, I could do this, you know, I'm a better player than I thought I was. And you know, it's been that. And you know, even now I'm still playing. I think I'm playing more now than I've ever have been playing as far as like league games go.
I believe it. You stay at the games.
To join teams.
I do stay playing. I did dip at halftime. Yeah, you know, it's just I noticed that when I'm at my best personally is when I'm playing, when football is involved in my life. And there's a lot of unlearning that has had to occur before I started loving football again. And finally this fool is loving me back. So yeah, it's been a growing relationship like Jojo said. And so yeah.
So your story is more like not just how did I fall in love with football, it's how did it fall in love back with me.
Yeah, wow. It's a love story, you know.
Rom-com.
This fool is playing hard to get. Sick ass fool.
Well, super quickly, if you guys don't mind telling me how you found Poderosas and joined.
So I first heard about Poderosas actually through, I think, different spaces where there's, you know, there's been Poderosas that have come from many places and spaces. And I, you know, through, I think, Los Tigres and North End, there was a lot of folks that were in the mix. And then from there, I had heard that there was going to be a professional women's team, and that was incredibly exciting. But even more so that there were folks that I knew, right, and have been in community with that were going to kind of step in and kind of create that supporter group and kind of help form that culture there. And that was super exciting because these are all, like, wonderful people that, like, I know where their hearts are at and, like, where their philosophies are. And that just kind of pulled me in, right? And it took some friends just kind of, like, pulling me into games and stuff. Shout out Tiff. I love you, Tiff and Laura. I do have a mental long list, but
I have shout outs to give. So I might as well get into it.
I think, you know, those two really pulled me in, I think, that the most. And I think that's, you know, it's been a really wonderful, you know, experience to kind of be there to witness all of this growth and also be there to support in whatever ways and whatever capacities are available. And since like the first season, I was kind of like trying to, I guess, go to as many games as possible. But I think over time, one mic.
You're counting.
One mic, bro. So yeah, that's kind of how I just you know, started officially. I think I'm definitely not a super, like, active person on Slack. Before Julio calls it out, I already see that fool getting near the mic. But I love to, you know, just kind of be in the loop and support in whatever ways possible. But more than anything, because I really enjoy, you know, how Poderosas go about, again, right, building community, right? And kind of, I think they're one of, like, the only spaces that I've been in that recognizes the power of the game, but also the ways in which politics are intertwined, genders intertwined, and the resistance is intertwined, right, as we have seen. And so, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm gonna shy. Oh, brother, pass it back to me.
Well, you know, I don't know, I kind of agree with kind of what you're saying, though, with Poderosas, like, the big thing is just community and the community events that we do. Because I met you at, like, the Palestine Kite event that we did. Not at a game. I don't think I ever saw you at a game.
Yet. I was behind you, okay? You didn't see me because I was behind you.
It's a big crowd. People get lost. I haven't met everyone in Poderosas still. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, though. Yeah. That's true. Like, we're such a big community, right?
It's yeah, we're in, like, over 100 now. So whatever, you know, it's totally fine. But the point is that we met at the Palestine Kite event. So community events are still kind of like this big thing that we get to do outside of football. It's like not just about football, even though that is the love of my life as well. But yeah, I'm glad that you guys are here. I do want to hear more about Futbolistas because that's kind of one of the big reasons that we're here today.
Oh, because, what? Oh, word?
I'd love to just maybe if Julio could provide a little introduction to what Futbolistas is and what you guys do. I know you're like heavily involved, Jojo is too, but Julio's the one that introduced me to it in person, so the responsibility falls on you.
Oh Lord. Okay. I'm definitely not the person to do justice within telling the Futbolista story, but I'm gonna try my best. I feel like Andy does a good job at telling this story. Terranova, not Johnson.
So. Cue the clip of them.
Terranova, not Johnson.
Oh,
just for the record,
I don't think anybody knew that that was Johnson's name. So
that so side story of that is Johnson goes by Johnson at Futbolistas for the most part because he used to go by Andy, but Andy Terranova was already there, so Johnson had to like create his own identity, and so he's Johnson.
You know, when in the Slack channel you said that you were going to talk about Johnson the whole time, I didn't believe you, but okay.
Oh no, this is all he's getting. This is all he's getting. Yeah. Hi Boots, hi Dora.
We love you, Johnson. Johnson to Julio.
Sometime. That Liverpool. But anyways, the Futbolista story. So Futbolista started in, if I'm not mistaken, about 22 years ago, up in the Bay. So they are originally from Oakland. A group of organizers kept getting caught by the police when they were protesting the war in Iraq. So what happened there is they kept getting caught, you know, kept getting out, but they're kind of like, hey, we need to, you know, get in better shape so we can, like, run away from the police, from these protests. And this group opted that soccer was a good way of them getting in shape because it involved running, it involved, like, reacting to things and moving, constantly moving. And a thought became a reality and for them. And so they hit the fields every Sunday. And I want to say 3 years after that, in 2005, I can't recall if like someone from the Bay moved out to LA or someone from LA got connected with like some of the Futbolistas from Oakland and kind of saw what they're about. And so that vision of starting another chapter of Futbolistas in LA became a reality. And Futbolistas LA was born. After the Futbolista chapter began in LA, there was talks about kind of finding a way to engage kind of like the Oakland chapter within the LA Futbolista chapter, and like having some type of event where like you can pretty much break bread and, you know, kind of all be together. And so I believe it was 2010 the first Copa Comunidad happened. If I'm not mistaken, it took place in the Bay. I'm gonna say one thing, ain't no Copa party like an LA or Bay Area party. Good Lord, these fools.
Drama on this podcast.
No drama. These are facts. These fools.
I'm gonna bleep this out.
These fools do not. You don't gotta delete this out. These fools know how to party. Oh my goodness.
That's true. But, I can vouch for that.
Yeah. That's true. But you know, the great thing is like it's always within a safe space. You know, so that for sure enhances the experience. But. You know, so 2010, LA and Oakland were in the mix. The first Copa happened. Folks literally caravaned all the way up to the Bay. What they did is it was like a registration fee for the weekend long event, and then the Bay folks provided housing for the LA folks. Some of the LA folks, I think, you know, had family or people they knew that they could stay with for the weekend, but. It was just a big, like, community event, you know, which hence the title, right? Copa Comunidad. And so from there, Copas would happen twice a year, and new Futbolista chapters were born. I know that D.C., Washington, D.C. came along, then Minneapolis/Twin Cities, Chicago and New York. We had a brief, like, cameo appearance from a guy from Seattle that said he wanted to start his a chapter in Seattle, so we were all excited for that, but we haven't seen the homie in a while, so if you're listening to this, I hope you're okay.
saludos.
And so yeah, you know, pandemic hit 2020, so there was a what did they call it, it was pretty much a virtual Copa, so it was like through a Zoom, which was it was so mixed feelings in that Copa, because people were like happy to see each other but were hella bummed out that it was through a screen. And so Copa hadn't taken place in 3 years after that, really. It was a struggle to like revitalize the space, and that's when Poderosas came in with their, you know, superhero suit on and helped reseed the space and totally got us through I'd like to say it was a rough patch within the Futbolista like story, you know, because there were some Sundays that like I would go and I was like, oh man, this is a very low turnout. It was like three people. We wouldn't really hear from other folks, and by then I think I was already connected through Poderosa, so you know, I remember Daisy came out to Futbolistas in around 2017, I think. And
shout out to Daisy.
La Rumi. What's up? I took out the trash, bro. I remember.
Put all your business out there,
bro. I almost forgot, but I took it out. With that said, you know, Daisy came out, and so I think she came out a few weekends, and then, you know, she has a busy schedule. This was like 2017. Years later, heading to San Diego, my first time rolling with Poderosas, I guess I got to talk about Johnson a little more. Dora and Boots canceled on him going to San Diego. And that was like, hey, I have a ticket. He's like, it's to San Diego. I'm like, fool, that's far. Like, I ain't got gas for that. He's like, no, it's a bus. It's a whole thing. It's paid for. Come through. So I went. And the homie Bijan went too. And that was my first time hanging out with Poderosas. But once I got in the bus, there was like five different people that I already knew. And Daisy and I kept kind of like, I feel like I know this person. And I was also like, I feel like I know her, but I definitely didn't want to be that weird person that's like, you know, side-eyeing you, kind of like trying to figure out if I know you or not.
Like analyzing her face on the bus. Like,
yeah, you know, I'm like, nah. So yeah, once we got down, we started tailgating, and she comes up and she's like, hey, she's like, fool, I think I know you from somewhere. I was like, oh, damn. Like, you call me fool, for sure you know me from somewhere.
He panicked.
I know. I was like, where do you know me from? Nah, she was like, do you play with the gender nonconforming group that plays Sundays? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm like Futbolistas. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, you came out. She's like, yeah, you know. So we like kind of put the pieces to the puzzle, and Had a great time. You know, I reconnected with Claudia. I used to hang out with like Claudia and like a little crew that would go out at times. You know, we would all hang out, and so it was cool to see that. And the reason I bring that up is because leading up to Copa Comunidad, which was the first one after the pandemic, 2023. It was the first time ever Futbolista has a collaborated Copa Comunidad, which was between Futbolistas and Poderosas. So we did a whole collab event. You know, a lot of the Poderosas and Futbolistas folks got down. It was, for the most part, women organizers, you know, and I was just trying to keep up with them and see where I could help out. And so it was amazing to see that. It was the first Copa since the pandemic. So I think a big target that we put for ourselves was to focus on that Copa Comunidad being about reconnecting and connecting with the other Futbolista chapters. And at the same time, bringing awareness of NWSL and what is it that Poderosas do in NWSL, and being a women-led organized group in a predominantly male, like, you know, predominantly male space. So yeah, you know, Poderosas holds it down. They do amazing work, and so there's like pieces to a Copa Comunidad. There's a welcoming dinner, which shout out to the food committee. Jojo got down, bringing food from Compton, from BG, from her mama's house, from La Northgate, from everywhere.
From yours too.
My mama. Hey, mom. Jeez, I'm gonna be in trouble. But just kidding. You know, we got down with the food. A welcoming dinner at Hector's house, Hector and Cynthia's house, which provided the space. And so, you know, it was nothing but joy. Jojo was like, "There must be a cake. There has to be a cake." And Jojo wanted a cake, and she got us a cake.
I wanted that for us.
Yeah, she did. And she left before we even cut the cake, but that's a whole nother story. On Saturday, usually Saturdays and Sundays are the big, like, football, almost like 2-2 tournament vibes, where you play all these teams, but the score is always 2-2. The reason why the score is always 2-2, and this is a Futbolista motto, we focus on the score being 2-2, so we don't have to put all our thoughts and efforts into what the score is, and instead using the soccer ball as a way of forming community, passing the ball around, making it a team game, a team-oriented game, and not stressing about who's winning, who's losing. And so with that too, you know, there's other guidelines, but the main thing is in order to change the world, we have to change the way we play. So that's if you want to get a tattoo, let me know. I can write that out for y'all. But that's the Futbolista motto. And I'm very, very honest with this. You know, we don't always, it's not always perfect, but it doesn't mean that we don't try, you know, and we like to hold ourselves accountable to those things. And within, you know, the games, we have that during Copa. And then there's usually a big party Saturday night, which... Might they? You're a witness to that. That
might have crashed that one a little bit.
Hey, but did you have fun though?
Hell yeah!
There you go. Do you remember what you did during the party, right there?
I don't drink, so yes.
Water after midnight.
Wait, what did I do?
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, okay. Might they have fun? That's what she did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
I don't know.
My memory is a little funky.
It was. I mean, I don't drink, and. I had people asking me a week later if I was hungover Sunday morning. I'm like, no, I was just tired. I wanted to, you know,
When I went to that thing, I was only like a few months into this whole not drinking thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, this is the most fun I've had while sober in a long time.
Yeah.
Like a long, long time. Yeah. So I really, really appreciated that event.
That's dope. Hell yeah. That's dope to listen to. No shame to folks that drink. Drink responsibly.
Do your thing, yeah.
Responsibly.
We don't yuck the yam.
Yeah. Échenle lo que le echen, pero con cuidado. But yeah, no, it was a great time. You know, I hope, like, maybe you can kind of chime in on this, but, you know, it felt like a very safe space at all times, right? Especially parties, you know. Fools get wild, and so it's good to have those settings being under a safe, like... environment, you know. And then, yeah, Sunday morning, we do our usually community football Sunday morning, which is the seed of it all and then the root of it all. And then we play more soccer. Shout out to Emily and I don't think I'm supposed to say the space, but shout out to the space that let us play and to Emily for helping us get the space and everyone that was in the Copa committee too. I got a lot of love for y'all. And then it's a Monday going away brunch, and it's pretty much that, you know, brunch time, folks leaving, and we honor two of our late futbolistas in Freddy Valdez, who unfortunately passed away but before I joined Futbolistas. I didn't have the pleasure of meeting Freddie, but very young Joven that passed away. I believe it was due to cancer, if I'm not mistaken. But Futbolistas provided a space for him to play in the sense of, like, whenever he would try to play league or try to play in spaces where he wanted to, these spaces wouldn't really accept him because of his medical condition, because of fear that something might happen to him. But really, it's what he wanted to do. He wanted to play. We play with the small goals, so we don't do corner kicks. He loved taking corner kicks. Hector tells the story. He acts it out, actually, so there's like layers to how he says it, but he used to like run after the ball, set it up, and take corner kicks into those tiny little goals. I don't know if there was ever a goal scored because it was a little bit before my time, but that was like a joy of his. And so Freddy Valdez Award is usually given to a person embodying the futbolista spirit, is what we call it. And then we also have the Kamali Award. Shout out to Edwin, Freddy's dad, Janet and Alex, Kamali's parents. And yeah, Kamali, you know, I feel like that's not a story for me to tell, but Kamali was a little futbolista that, you know, we miss a lot. And fortunately Kamali passed away at birth, and we carry his spirit and honor Kamali and remember Kamali through this award. And it's also, so the Freddy Valdez Award is given at Copa, and the Kamali Award would be given at Brown Buffalo. So it's like a white elephant, you know, gift exchange for Christmas, but you know, we're different, so we call it Brown Buffalo. And usually it's like the most involved and active futbolista throughout the whole year. This time around, we hadn't had a Copa in so long, so we gave both awards out during Copa. And then, you know, shout out to Isel who got the award. It was like a Isel / Poderosas collective that received the award. Who I can tell you, they put in so much work. You know, Jojo, you did multiple committees, no? You had food, and I feel like you had at least two more.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was a group effort. Like, yeah. A lot of folks, like, really put in, like, the labor of love to, like, bring it back to life. Even though maybe some of us didn't experience it beforehand, we really we're working based off of like the oral history of what Copa Comunidad was and the futbolista energies that went into it. But yeah, it was great to be a part of that. And also big shout out to Isel, shout out to the homegirl that really did put in. Also, we had amazing merch. Also,
yeah.
There was a lot of dope work being done there. It was great. Yeah, I remember that a lot of the feelings that were felt during Copa Comunidad was that of, like, yeah, I guess the Poderosa element that was kind of like intertwined in this event was really felt, right? Like, we were able to not only play the game but also like learn with each other about what are some of like the things that we want to see, right, in these spaces, especially like in women's sports, like what it looks like to be in more inclusive spaces, right? To be in to foster kind of an environment where folks of all, like, all ages, like identities, can, you know, just kind of come and play. And that's one of the things that I really liked about the futbolista space. And that's also, I guess, how I got involved at first was through that Poderosa event that was hosted My sense of time is really wonky. I don't know if how long ago that was.
I feel like it's well.
Julio likes to keep receipts, so maybe Julio knows. Maybe Julio knows.
I keep receipts like that when it's time to do these freaking taxes, dude. I can't ever find my receipts.
Beaches, I know. Taxes. Not the.
But IRS. Yeah, swerve those fools.
But anyway, going off topic. But anyway, that Poderosa event was really dope. That was, I guess, my first intro to Futbolistas. And it was such a trip, like in a good way, right? Like folks were really friendly. We really there was this sense of like alignment also. I remember also being tripped out about all of the positive reinforcement during the games. Like,
this is different.
Yeah, I was like, what? Like, people were complimenting each
other. That's why you were twitching every time?
Yeah, maybe. I was like, what? I remember Andy, and I don't know, this kind of stuck in my psyche, but Andy in specific. Hi, Andy. I appreciate you, friend. Which is like being so positive and like so like encouraging that I was just like, I had to take a double take, like, what? He's not gonna like say anything because I took the ball away, or like
my experience with Andy is completely different.
Yeah. But my experience, it was really cool to be in that type of playing setting, which again is something that I say a lot, is that there's not many places where you can play in that way, where, you know, there's a lot of folks that also grew up playing in these types of environments, and sometimes you see that right in the field, like you see like the, you know, the anger coming out, you say, the anger coming out, you know, sometimes, you know, the competitiveness kind of overshadows like the spirit of the game, no, or there's like slide tackling in the mix, or like, you know, there's so many little cositas that a lot of folks like grew up playing around, and this was like completely different, right? It's a space where like folks can bring like their youngins to come play too, right? It's a place where like there's some intentional space made for like, you know, other players, right, that are not male, right? Not cishet males. And I think that was also like a really, really cool element about the space.
Well, I mean, you know, both of you have, and Andy actually, have all pushed me to go to Futbolistas, and I have not done it. I'm scared.
We're just going to pick you up at this point.
You're not going to make the trip to the west side. See, that's where I call it up.
Try me.
I'll meet you halfway.
Meet me halfway.
But, all right, thank you both for telling me all about Futbolistas and all the histories and stuff. I hope that people who are listening are encouraged to go, because I'm still too scared. And yeah, so should we talk a little bit about ACFC?
let's do it.
Should we just give it a go?
Yeah,
okay, let's do it. Well, two of us attended the game last night, and
you're not gonna say which two, but
there was two games this week and then the past week, so that was fun. Yeah. After like a whole month off, so we'll quickly talk about those two games.
Dang, was it a month?
Yeah, that it was basically a month. Wow. They were away. Yeah. So, in the meantime, though, Amandine Henry and Nielsen were traded out. Too much controversy. I think we've talked enough about it, though. Like, just so much anger there. But you know what?
So much grief, yeah.
We've been reminded by the team that we need to just, like, be appreciative of who we have. Yeah. And show the love to the players that we got. So that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, shout out to Paige, though. Hope you're doing good. Mm-hmm. Henry, too, you know. But yeah. I think everyone was just really attached
with
Paige.
We were really attached with
Paige. Very attached with Paige.
But in the spirit of appreciating our current players, before I move on, who's your collective player of the pod? Because you know what? We're just going to do one with y'all.
Yeah, you know, it's always hard to just pick one, right? I think, like you said, like we were trying to be appreciative of the members we do have. But yeah, I think one of the players that we were talking about that has really been putting it in the net for us these past few games, we're like...
Literally.
quite literally. Shout out Emsley, Claire Emsley. MZ has been just scoring bangers like these past few games and has been coming through. So I think for us, we want to give MZ her flowers and kind of celebrate her amazing goals. Ojalá sean más, you know, we're like we know how it's been going lately, and so
golden boot. Shall we give it a go?
Yeah,
I've been waiting for the elusive hat trick for ACFC, and if anyone's gonna get it, it's gonna be Emsley. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
We haven't had the hat trick yet, huh?
We haven't.
Just like we haven't had someone in double digits in the season, like goal scoring wise.
That's correct.
And Emsley's at 4.
She's already at 4. Yeah. So you know her brace. In that first game back home on the 21st of April against North Carolina, that won us the game. You know what I mean? Like, this is against a team, North Carolina, that is so possession heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how we touched the ball, but when she did, she put it in the net. And we won because of that. It really, like, I think...
That free kick still. Oh, my goodness. Mm.
The free kick was, like, out of this world.
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, so super shout out to your player of the pod. We're already jumping into the recap, but yeah, I mean, we all attended that game together. We all experienced that win together. We really needed it. Listen to the crudo.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, you can get into it there, but how did you guys
the
feel?
Unicorn is missing
game? It's not.
It belongs to someone.
It was returned to the rightful owners. Rest assured. But it was a very stressful game.
The last bit of it, for sure.
Yeah.
The from 90th minute to the 100th minute?
Something like that.
Where did those 10 minutes come from?
The stoppage time was redonk.
Where did those 10 minutes come from?
And you know, we got scored on by North Carolina's Lucy. She doesn't belong to us anymore. North Carolina's... she was playing like she had a vendetta. I'm like, what did we do to you? I don't know, but...
I feel like since she got traded...
She's been
when
like that, huh?
She plays, like... Those sleeves are rolled a little extra high, you know? Yeah. Dang. Yeah.
She doesn't have Nielsen biceps anyway.
She does not. No, nobody has Nielsen biceps.
No. Working on it.
I'm wiping tears off my face. You can't see my face right now, but...
There's people with Paige Nielsen's name on their biceps.
I have no idea what you're talking about. but luckily we took home those 3 points. And the next game, which for us was last night, on the 26th, was against Kansas City, which was way too freaking soon after our struggle of a game at the KC Stadium. We started off really, really, really good. That first half was a complete beautiful first half where we really did it. And no surprise, Emsley scored with Alyssa Thompson. She's playing such a Rodman role right now where she just helps everybody else out. I love that for her. I want her to score, but...
She's reminding me a little bit of how, like, Camberos' contribution from last season. Because Camberos was just racking up assists, like, late in the season especially, right?
Yeah, Camberos, I also feel like she played a lot like Emsley.
I can see that.
Yeah. Missing her.
Mm-hmm. Let me wipe my tear before you continue.
Mm-hmm. The tears came back.
Just, like, all the tears today. but we held off Chewinga, we held off Bia. Mm-hmm. Neither of them got goals, but 3 other people did. No. Unfortunately,
there's no like comforting way to say.
Yeah.
Wait, but 3 or 2?
3.
One scored a brace though, right? One of their key.
Oh,
players?
You might be right.
You know how I remember that? Because somebody was bragging about their fantasy team.
Did Di Bernardo score twice?
I think she did.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. You racked up the points yesterday.
I didn't want to this time.
Pobrecita.
Anyways, we played with a 3-back for the first time, and it actually worked pretty well at first. We've never done that. We're a 4-back team every single time. But we did really well. I hope that they keep trying at it. I hope that they keep trying at Anderson, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But yeah. I know that you guys had business to attend to, so you didn't get to watch the whole game last night, but...
I cut the first half.
I know, I was there.
And I cut the highlights.
But how did you guys feel about how we did? I mean, obviously this was a loss.
Okay, I was at the Belanova concert, y'all. Like, I didn't get. Belanova comeback concert. I had to, but I was keeping up on the socials and was seeing the score, and you know,
these fools on red for no reason.
Was actually seeing the Slack too, and I was like, dang, y'all. But I'll let Julio give some analysis up in there, but Chalice.
Yeah, I mean the first half, like my. That said, it was a great first half. I think KC really came out to pressure ACFC. It almost looked like a tactical agreement where KC was like, okay, we're going to pressure you the first 15. And ACFC was also like, hey, we're going to get pressure the first 15. So, yeah. Like, let's be on it. And, I mean, look, at this, I really cannot think of a better center back in the league right now outside of Sarah Gordon. My goodness, what blipping level this homegirl is playing at, because she's just running the show. I want to say in the first half, all of the balls that she came out to like all the plays she came out to close out, regardless of who it was from that KC front line, she was holding that down. She was winning those balls. There's a play that she, like, instead of clearing it one touch, she like touched it to the line, but was waiting on the step from the KC forward and just slickly bounces it off her, and it's like, like points at her, like, you know,
she's
out on you.
With these fools for real.
Like, I'm just like, that's such a like gangster veteran move. Like, that's you knowing the spacing of the field, you knowing the player that's on you, and what how you're being attacked, and just utilizing those things in your favor. After that first 15 minutes, I think the game really was back and forth after that. Curry, oh my goodness. Madison,
she has
Curry.
Grown in like four games. She's evolved into like a solid starter.
She's aged like just as much as JoJo H in those like 10 minutes, you know, with, cause with the was it Johnson that was like, JoJo, I think you lost weeks of life.
Years perhaps. Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's, you know, but the thing is, like, moving forward, she's very confident. I don't see much fear in her, and I saw some tears from her when she got player of the game. I thought that was
really
sweet. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
She's so you looked at it closely.
She, because they showed, you know, they do like the little like the post game clips, on ACFC social, and you can see her. She's like wiping her face.
I thought
it
was
like
sweat.
They didn't look like sweat. Fool.
I mean, I could be wrong.
I cry, bro. I know what crying looks like. You know?
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
hey, bro.
Listen. No, I'm just kidding. But the game was played well. I like the midfield. How'd you feel about the midfield? I like Hammond with
Rocky,
Fuller and Rocky.
Rocky's an absolute legend. She plays incredibly. I think her and Gordon together are the reason that we can have a three back.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Really?
So I'm so happy that we have Rocky. I think Fuller, similar to Curry, plays with no fear. So we have a lot of youth that don't have the fear in them, and Becky has talked about trying to take the fear out of Thompson because, just try to take the pressure off of her. We have a lot of young kids on our team.
Shout out to them though; they're like, they bring so much drive. Also, like, honestly, it must be hard to,
be absolutely.
In a space like that too, with a lot of like seasoned players. Also, like, I'm sure it must be difficult on many ends, but yeah, I'm also like, oh,
those are our
babies.
Speaking of babies, Giselle Thompson came back from injury and she played a little bit. She did incredibly. I think if she had gone in 10 minutes earlier, and I think if Messiah had gone in 20 minutes earlier, we really made it, maybe would have gotten our lead back and then locked in, you know. But unfortunately, basically two of the last goals from KC were in stoppage time for the most part, and that's a bummer, right?
Minute 93, I think it's
something like that.
Back to back, and we had just said like, oh, it's great to see us able to keep a lead against the Courage, and then our Courage went away yesterday against Kansas City.
Not our courage.
We were discouraged yesterday. But I mean, you know, it was crazy. But I think the rotations, you know, Tweed was doing so great with like pulling strings late last season, since she took over. But this season, I'm a little like,
there's some growing pains, I think, maybe. Because we came in with a different attitude when Becky was trying to like put band-aids, you know what I mean, last season, and this season we're really trying to like build and do something, but we're kind of reverting back to this grittiness. We'll see how it goes. I'm a Becky stan.
Yeah.
Until I'm not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I hear that. Yeah. She hasn't done, you know, nothing. She hasn't been a toxica like previous.
She's adjusted, coaches. You know what I mean? It's not like she pulled out Anderson when things weren't going well. I respect that. Like, yeah. I feel for her. She's in a tough position. This is really her first year as real head coach.
It was like her first like full on like preseason camp and everything, yeah. Right, that she's been able to have. Yeah, that's tough. And like you said, it's like a different type of adjustment where you go from putting band-aids, not even knowing if you're gonna be there the following season.
Yeah.
To like it being your team and you're building everything.
Yeah. Really. Speaking of people that have pressure on them, for sure. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah,
but now we have our upcoming games, which is on the 3rd of May against Utah. I think that's going to be a nice little confidence builder. They're not doing the best in the league, and I think we can pull one off there. Shout out to Emmy Rodriguez, another possession-focused team, but we did it to North Carolina, so I'm a little confident. And then we're going up against Houston Dash. So we're going up against both of our former players.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Good job, ACFC front office.
Mm. But that'll be back at home. So Nielsen will come home for a game.
We are showing up with our biceps out. Whether we have some or not, we are coming out with our biceps showing for Paige Nielsen.
Watch us be all cold. Houston's been building, by the way. Like, not only do they now have Nielsen in their back line, they also have Tarciane, I don't know how you say her name.
Brazilian from Brazil. Center back.
Yeah. Incredible center back. If you guys saw her in the Gold Cup, you know. I'm excited for the game. I do still have belief in the girls. We went up against the strongest team last night. That's why, you know, things happen the way they happen. But I still have hope. How are you guys feeling about the team? Just to end off here.
We have to have hope, right? I mean,
#believe.
I mean, that's where I'm coming from. Like, no. Yeah, it doesn't help me to think in the otherwise. So I'll just leave it there. I'm just going to remain hopeful. Mm-hmm.
I like how you think, JoJo.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's remaining hopeful. I think when I think of the current state of the team, I just I look at Sarah Gordon's post-game interview after the Courage game, where she was saying, like, you know, the ones that are here are the ones that are here, and we love you because you love us, you know. And so, I think that's the idea moving forward. We're going to show up in the stands for them, and I know that they're going to show up on the field for us. And so definitely have hope. And us winning in the stands hopefully transitions into us winning on the field too. Yeah,
I heard from saw on the Twitter one of the capos who was like talking about how incredible the vibe was last night in the Fortaleza, and it's just like, it's nice to have that takeaway, especially at home games when we like don't get the points,
right?
But we showed up, and you know, it was a Friday night, so a lot of people couldn't make it, but still we were there. Yeah. We were allowed.
There's concerts and all sort of type of stuff going on Friday nights.
But
just tag me already, dude. Like, oh, what's up, bro?
I'm being serious, guys. God. Yes. Even Tiff was like, she came, you know, hung out with me after her half being capo, and she was like, dang, that energy was good today.
Yes.
And of course, we were winning at that point, but still, you know, like, it's nice to hear that because we really do put a lot into those two halves.
There's something about Tiff being a capo, and you just feel like energy is being kicked out of you and put into display. So
she's a vibe.
She is a living, walking vibe.
We love you, Tiff.
We love you, Tiff, my big sister. Love you, fool. Shout out to Germ too.
The capos.
All of the capos, Crystal, Germs. Daisy.
Y'all are always amazing. Yeah, like, yeah. We literally looking at y'all.
Yeah. I feel like I'm looking at them a lot.
Sometimes I'm like, let me leave them alone. I'm like, how much time do we have? Can we just like fangirl over our amazing capos? I'm like,
and drummers.
Like,
and drummers. Oh my
gosh. Please listen to the past interviews I've done, because I've had pretty much every capo on now, I think, and they're all amazing. And most of the drums, I think. If not, I think all of them.
Okay.
Claudia, yeah. Crystal, Alma, Daisy, Emily. Yeah, I think I've had everybody, so...
Y'all are amazing. Dang. I know y'all know that.
We're definitely the fillers.
No. Wow, who knew?
No, you're the futbolistas. You guys came in... My purpose with you guys was to hear from people that play soccer as well as love soccer. So thank you for bringing that energy. And with that, let's just end off the podcast with some plugs. I'd love to hear if you guys have a LA business of the podcast.
I want to show some love to the Southeast LA. Honestly, like, I'm a Southeast LA kid forever. I think I'm probably going to eat this later, but Cruzita's Deli and Cafe, my homegirl Selena and her family have run that place for years now. They're a cute staple in Celaya. And then also Art Space HP, Midnight Books, and For the People Cafe. They're also in HP.
FTP.
Yeah, FTP. But yeah, I guess. I mean, it's multiple. I'm sorry. But
that's okay. We're all good.
But all the flowers to all our local businesses and places thriving.
Street vendors. Shout out to y'all. Mine's Picaresca, dude. I'm there every Friday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's Poderosas HQ.
Yeah.
Guaranteed
Hell
to find
yeah.
a Poderosa.
Se celebran bodas, cumpleaños.
That's right, todos.
If y'all come by, just go, hey, Poderosa, and then whoever looks up, that's one of us. Yeah.
Check shout out to Ale. Ale, you make like the, you know, the best espresso tonic.
The one that we all had, like, Picaresca today.
Yeah, we have literally. Shout out to Julio. Yeah, I think Julio is like sponsored or something.
Oh, I should have worn my shirt. Dang.
Yeah,
it's
but
okay, they can't see you.
Yeah. I'm like, shout out to all those businesses, all those businesses, and also those businesses that like they like support each other too. Like,
yeah.
they're
and
in like
Espacio.
Networks, right?
Espacio.
Shout out to
they Nico. Come through. They're so great. They're great, and I love this little shop. You guys gotta come through. Okay, that's enough businesses.
I got more.
Other than these business amazing businesses, do you have any podcasts, books, movies, anything else that you want to?
Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix. Catch it. It's good.
The live action.
Well, I mean both. You can do both, but the live action is pretty cool. I feel like it was done right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right on. And other than that, just follow Poderosas_ACFC on Instagram because everything goes on there. Shout out to Emily, as always.
Emily.
And check out the description for links for any references that we made during this podcast.
Shout out to Maite for the podcast work.
She's all right. But yeah. All right, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye,
Thank
y'all.
You.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.